The financial crisis of 2008 precipitated intervention by governments and central banks the likes the world had never seen. World economies and stock markets recovered, but the definition of recovery meant different things to different people. Income inequality surged as the chasm between Main Street and Wall Street widened. The recovery lasted until 2016. Then we had the following headlines. Dow Jones plunges 4,000 points. Shanghai Composite drops 10,000. Illinois state employees riot after deep wage cuts. National Guard dispatched. Big three automakers lay off thousands. Mutual funds struggling with redemption. State pension funds in peril. Militia groups growing in membership. The markets and the economy staged a mild recovery, though insufficient to calm everyone's fears. An already polarized nation, the red and blue states, found new entrants to the political arena as two third parties were born out of the distrust. The new parties gained political seats in state and national races in the 2018 elections. Exacerbating the political and economic chaos were a series of domestic and international terror attacks, both cyber and kinetic. We had the following headlines. New York City power grid disabled by hackers. Bomb detonated on the world's largest cruise ship. Major U.S. bank suffers data breach. Popular social networks disabled by cyber terrorists. The public demanded and received more security. This led to a greater degree of authoritarianism on the part of government. Random email and phone surveillance became commonplace. The seeds were sown for the next crisis, a crisis that would shape the future of the United States of America and the world. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We'll be landing in Buenos Aires in 2 hours. Our breakfast service will begin shortly. Buenos dias, damas y caballeros. American Airlines Flight 953 from JFK to Buenos Aires flew smoothly throughout the night, but even traveling in business class did not make for a restful experience. The noise-canceling headphones were wonderful, as long as your head didn't tilt too far to one side. It didn't matter, since his hunger made him look forward to the eggs and bacon he pre-ordered when he booked his ticket. Maybe it's because he flew so often, but he didn't mind airplane food. He tilted his nose towards his shoulder, inspecting the freshness of his shirt. It passed. The flight attendant came by with a fresh hot towel. His first hot towel experience a few years ago confused him. He unwrapped it thinking there was something inside. Then he expected a razor and shaving cream. The woman sitting next to him got a towel, so the razor idea was shot. After spying on another passenger, he figured it out. He cleaned his hands and face, getting the sleep out of the corners of his eyes. Mr. Scott, your breakfast. He appreciated the attendant knowing his name. His stomach rumbled from the emptiness. Instead of a full dinner before boarding the flight, he opted for a light snack. His first trip to Buenos Aires came 14 years earlier, in 2005, when he was accompanied by his father, Gustavo Sáenz, a native Argentinian. This was his senior trip after graduating high school in Texas. Chandler Scott did not grow up around his father, who had enjoyed a brief love affair with his mom, Renee, while she attended the University of Missouri in Columbia. Gustavo fit the image of the classic Latin lover, tall, dark, and handsome. His accent made the ladies swoon. As an assistant professor of banking and finance, he was a kid in a candy store. There were so many co-eds, but he was always cautioned to keep his pants zipped.